14 minutes past seven, and Mick Malthouse with us on a Friday night. And Rowan Connolly also here, along with Moons, as we reminisce just about a moment from Mick's career before we move on to other matters.
And, what have we got this week?
Well, Rowan is the man. He's very distracted at the moment. But,
he's
got a bit going on, Rowan. There's always something going on in his life, or he said something he shouldn't have.
Do I need to apologise?
No, not yet. You might have to later.
Talk coffee.
But where are we going with Mick tonight, Ron?
Well, we're talking about a man whose absence has been very costly for Collingwood this year, Dane Swan. Fantastic player. We're presuming he'll play on next year. I think that's now the expectation. But it's easy to forget with Swanee just how big a crossroads his whole career was at early in the piece. And he'd been at Collingwood a while and was a, you know, bit of a peripheral player, I think, seen as a peripheral player.
Uninked.
Uninked at that stage. Mm-hmm. That came much later. But, you know, there was a pivotal incident in which he and a couple of other guys got caught up in some trouble. And he got in a fair bit of trouble over that. And I think it's fair to say his whole career was at a real crossroads. And I was just interested in asking Mick for his views on how he was turned around, not only to the extent that, you know, he became a really good player, but a Brownlow medalist and one of the best midfielders we've seen in the 21st century. It's a remarkable transformation, and I'm just interested in the coaching perspective, Mick, on how you actually achieved that. And also, what was it about Swanee you saw that made you think this guy's worth persevering with?
Great question, Ro. First of all, let's go back to the under-18 competition. He was drafted late, and I reckon he was drafted late. We had a good look at him, and there's no doubt that the club, not me, but my impact on that was more about how he won the football. He won it so often, couldn't kick it, walked and ran like a duck, but never got caught. Reasonably strong in the air, but again didn't dominate. Played basically half-back. And was a late-ish pick. So when he came to the football club, I played him off a half-back flank. Remarkably, these are the things that keep coming back to you. Remarkably, he would end up in the 10-yard square at our end, kicking a goal from the half-back line. Mm-hmm. So he demonstrated to me his great running capacity, but you need more than just running capacity. You need to read the play. And he was able to read the play. And from that moment on, I thought, well, this kid may be able to go through the middle, but let's let him focus in on one position, become a master of it, and then try to do something with him. My thing on him on the halfback line, probably right to the end of his career, was that he wasn't what perceived to be a great kick in terms of how you hold the football and how you put the football down and what it comes off the boot like, but he's a goal kicker. He's accurate. He can kick long ball, but he kicks a short ball. But for the moment that I saw him on the set in the reserves playing off a half-back flank, it looked awkward. And I started to have this doubt about, can you have a player on the half-back line that just doesn't give you the football? And can you transfer that player into the middle? So they're the bit of the doubts on him, if there's doubts on him. But his build was fantastic. He worked pretty hard at training. And he did get himself into trouble. And to the point where...
So when that happened, what was the assessment of him as a player? Were you really confident that he could still be a player, or you weren't sure?
I swung into, this kid can play football, but he's got to be able to do it the way we want it done, and he's got to conform as a bloke who, you know, brilliant mum and dad. Look, this, it's just that he lived in a certain area that attracted a few different types of he's a bloke that loves company. He'll stick to his friends like you can't believe, and so he's very loyal. He's got so many great qualities. I love his qualities, but this was going to be a testing time for him, because I said to him, I'll keep you on if you move one suburb or two suburbs away from where you live, because right or wrong, I called his mates rats, and rats wouldn't go that far. Now, I didn't have the joy too often of meeting his mates, so they're probably good kids. But I knew for his point of view, he had to break away from that mateship and focus more on what the demands of AFL football are, or were, to break the shackles and prove to me that he really wanted to play good, honest football. Now, unbeknown at the time, I didn't realise how much pride he had. I knew he's just a kid that loves footy, ran the football, used the football. But he's got a massive amount of pride in his performance. And that becomes so evident as time went on. When I'd match him up against players, or he'd get beaten by someone and he'd want to go back and bounce off that player to prove that he could play good football. So not knowing at the time and challenging him, he said, I said, have you moved? And he said, yes, I have. And I thought, well, that's the first start. And I didn't expect him to do it that quickly. Where'd you move to? And he told me, and I said, well, that's three suburbs away. I said, well, there's no doubt those rats will stay away from you there.
He was in, isn't he from West Meadows or somewhere?
Well, out that way, but wherever it was, he moved at least three suburbs across town. And we don't know, but we just hit it off as, like, you don't go out of your way to have the chemistry mix. You just want to be coach and there's a play. But every now and again, well, not every now and again, quite frequently, you know, you get this mixture of the personalities, and I enjoyed him and he enjoyed my coaching. I loved the way he went about it. I got him into the centre as when I thought it was practical. We developed a good game structure around him. We knew he was just an absolute burst player and could run and then needed a breather, but it didn't take long to have a breather on the fence, so we're able to...
Well, just on that, I was going to ask you. I mean, you guys basically pioneered the spike in rotations.
Yeah, was it around?
Has he benefited more from that than any other player?
Well, at the time, this is 2007. Mm. We were about eighth or ninth in the ladder, and I can distinctly remember going to our conditioning coach David Butterford and Guy McKenna, who was our midfield coach, and say, "Look, we're going to finish eighth or ninth here because we've only got B graders. We've got a lot of B graders." Most clubs, because they're averaging 44 interchanges in those days. That's the average. And we're actually right on it. We're up 44. And most clubs have, the top clubs have one or, no, they have two, at least two A graders. Then hardly any B graders. They have C graders because they stayed on the ball for so long. Mm. And I thought our only solution, I watched some ice hockey, and I couldn't believe how explosive they were when they come back onto the
ice,
court. So I said to these guys, you've got 1 week. We're going to change training up, but I'm going to hit them with as many B graders as I can, which hopefully will run with the A's, and then smash the C's. Well, as you know, we played off in that preliminary final against Geelong, and we got very, very close. Mm. We went to 100 interchanges, but every player adjusted to it. But two players in particular were the best at it. We worked out that Pendlebury was about an 8 or 9 minute player, and Swan was a 6.5 minute player. Now, when it got reduced a few years later, we put Swanee onto 7.5 minutes, never got one extra possession, in fact, went backwards. Mm-hmm. So it just shows that 6.5 was his power, minute and a half off, and I'll never forget Kirk playing on him, Brett Kirk, and he was, so Swanee go on, and he came off when we wanted him to. He wasn't a selfish player. So off he's coming, Kirk was sort of getting caught on, and he load up, 90 seconds, back on, Kirk's just coming off, then rushes back on. We had him back and forth, and I had Kirky as when I was with Channel 7, and he said it was the hardest thing ever to do was to tag Swan because you knew it was 6.5, but I didn't have anyone ready to come back on. So it actually helped Swanee become that devastatingly power-packed midfielder, goal-kicking midfielder.
Mm.
Great player, great bloke. I love coaching him.
He's a bloke. He really defies the stereotype of an AFL player, doesn't he? But that you mentioned his great professional pride. Mm. I'm just interested in personality term. Why do you think it's like he needs to be seen as not caring sometimes?
Well, it's interesting you say, because that is his personality. And at training, he displayed that. There was a nonchalance about his training. And I think one of the arts of coaching is, and I say this for all young coaches coming through, that if we want to stick, if we don't have everyone beating the same drum, you're going to find that you're not going to have the variety you need in personalities and in players. What the public and the opposition never saw was I would let him train the way he wanted to train. Because I knew, because my thing about training is your biggest training session is match day. And he used to come off exhausted. And he used to run himself ragged. So during the week, I let him do what he had to do on the field. But what they didn't see was when he walked off with me generally back to from Gosh's paddock back to the rooms, He'd go into the altitude room, pump up the running machine to what he thought was his power run, jump on it and sprint for 30 seconds, jump off, jump back on again, jump back off. He would do that for so long that his body was just in a lather of sweat, and the power he used, and he believed that that was his secret. So we just kept it. No one was exposed to it. It wasn't in the public eye. It wasn't in the media eye. He did it. Then he'd nonchalantly walk around a football field, and everyone goes, how slack is this bloke? But he wasn't. But he loved that image.